Isaiah 28, 21 through 29. For the Lord will rise up as on Mount Perazim, as in the valley of Gibeon he will be roused, to do his deed, strange is his deed, and to work his work, alien is his work. Now therefore do not scoff, lest your bonds be made strong, for I have heard a decree of destruction from the Lord God of hosts against the whole land. Give ear and hear my voice. Give attention and hear my speech. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? When he has leveled its surface, does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheat in rows, and barley in its proper place, and emmer as the border? For he is rightly instructed, his God teaches him. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sled, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin, but dill is beaten out with a stick and cumin with a rod. Does one crush grain for bread? No, he does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cartwheel over it with his horses, he does not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So we are looking at Isaiah 28. Together, verses 21 through 29. But I wanted to start first by thinking about a promise made to a dog. Seems a bit strange, but John and Molly Chester made a promise to Todd, their dog, and because they made this promise, they moved from their small LA apartment to a farm, 200-acre farm located about an hour north of L.A. But the problem with this farm was that in many ways it was not a farm at all. The soil was considered dead. It was hard as a rock, and experts said the land was unusable for any kind of traditional farming. Maybe you've seen this documentary, The Biggest Little Farm, but the Chesters tell their eight-year story of turning this dead land into what became Apricot Lane Farms. And by the end of the film, the farm has been transformed from where it was, where it began as a dust bowl, just dead, into this lush, vibrant paradise, a working farm. And it's quite amazing, right, to see the difference that these two, I think they became good farmers. They learned along the way, but that these two farmers were able to do with this land. So we come to Isaiah 28, and I think God basically says, I'm like these farmers, and you are my field. I take dust bowls and turn them into beautiful gardens. I know exactly what to do and how long to do it to lead to the most vibrant and fruitful results in your life. That's what we see in Isaiah 28. The way God speaks here in these verses emphasizes his precision with us, his careful and considered action with each of our lives. He is the master farmer. Every single thing he does is with great purpose. He is moving us as individuals towards fruitfulness, towards life. Right? God's goal is not just to make us the best version of ourselves. That's too low of a bar. He knows exactly what to do and how long to do whatever he's doing in your life to make you into what the Apostle Paul calls a masterpiece. Ephesians 2. His goal in your life is to make you into the best version of humanity, to, from glory to glory, move you towards the image of the perfect man, Jesus Christ. That is what he's doing. He wants each of his children to be absolutely teeming with life, with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. God is at work. He is the master farmer. He has, as Paul says in Ephesians again, these good things planned for us from long ago. And in Philippians, we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God will finish his work. It will not be thwarted. He knows what to do. He knows how long to do it to get us to this place that he wants us, this place of life and fruitfulness and vibrancy. But if you've noticed in Isaiah 28, this all sounds wonderful, right? Oh, he's going to take me, a dust bowl, and turn me into this vibrant garden. This is amazing. But you notice, Isaiah calls this a strange work of God, an alien work of God, because God's process of taking us from the dust bowl to the garden hurts sometimes, or maybe hurts often. It doesn't feel like love. It's hard in the moment, whatever we're facing, it's hard to imagine how this could be good. It seems strange, or as Isaiah says, it seems alien that a loving father would do this, would lead me through this. But it is a part of the master farmer's plan with us. It seems strange, it seems alien to come from a loving father, but it is good. So here's my three headings that I'd like us to walk through this morning. Three headings. He plows with purpose. He plows with purpose. We'll look at verse 21 and then 23 through 26. He threshes with precision, verses 27 and 28. And then verse 29, he produces in abundance. He produces in abundance. So first, he plows with purpose. It's fascinating, this passage, just fascinated this week, how God illustrates his work in our lives and how God has designed creation, right? He's designed this world to illustrate vital truths. And we come to Isaiah 28 and he gives us this illustration, this extended illustration. So what I want us to do for a moment is to make a VeggieTales move. We all make a VeggieTales move. I'm sure many of you have seen VeggieTales, right? We're all going to make that move, and instead of vegetables, we're going to think about the soil and the seed here. But if the soil had a voice, it would cry out, right? Oh, farmer, why do you need to plow? When will you stop plowing and tearing up the ground? This hurts. Or if the seed could speak, farmer, do you really have to thresh me? Is there really any benefit to beating me with a stick or running over me with a cart? Do you have to do this? This does not seem good. Right? That's the move Isaiah is making. The point here is that this plowing and this threshing seems so strange. How could a loving God do this to his children? If you look at verse 21, that's what Isaiah is saying. Look at verse 21. For the Lord will rise up as on Mount Perazim, as in the valley of Gibeon, he will be roused to do his deed. Strange is his deed, and to work his work. Alien is his work. So if you look at this verse, these two locations, Mount Perazim and the Valley of Gibeon, are former battle sites, right, where God defeated his people's enemies, specifically the Philistines. So the Lord will rise up like when he went against the bad guys, right? That's what Isaiah is saying. Like when he fought and defeated the bad guys, the Lord will rise up like that. But instead of going against the bad guys, he's going against his own children, against his own people. This seems so strange, Isaiah. This is alien. Working against his people, why would he do this? Well, to awaken them, to change them, to transform them, to take them from being the dust bowl, dead, lifeless, into this lush garden. Seems strange to us, but he's the master farmer. We can trust him. So then that leads us to verses 23 through 29, where I think Isaiah is just illustrating the strange and alien work of God. He's given us this parable. So look at verse 23. Give ear and hear my voice, give attention and hear my speech. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? When he has leveled its surface, does he not scatter dill and sow? Did you know how to pronounce this next word? Sow Cumin? Cumin? Came? Cumin. YouTube says cumin, right? Does it so cumin? And Risha pronounced it so well, right? So cumin. And put it in wheat and rows, and barley in its proper place, and emmer as the border, for he is rightly instructed. His God teaches him. So what is Isaiah saying here? First, he's saying nature points to this deeper reality. God made the principles of agriculture and gardening to communicate something very important in the way that he works in our lives. The farmer plows because plowing is a necessary step in farming. You can't plant. You won't see any fruit unless first you tear up the ground. It's the deep work in the soil. The word harrow here, right? Harrow is another kind of plowing. And the definition that I saw is that it's pulverizing the soil. So the farmer, any good farmer, knows this. He must plow. He must harrow his land. And God is saying, that's what I do in my people. Yes, it seems strange. Yeah, it doesn't seem to make sense, but he plows with purpose, from dust to garden. He wants to make us into a masterpiece. Seems so strange, but God is working to soften us, to transform us. He uses difficulty, he uses suffering, he uses life to turn us into these vibrant gardens. But we see another important point here under this first heading. Part of the comfort of these verses is found in this verse 24. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Have you ever seen a farmer who all he does is plow? No. He wouldn't have a garden, right? He wouldn't be a farmer. Because if all you do is plow, if you just do that continually, then you will have no farm. You will have no garden. So God is saying, there's a set time for the plowing. It's not just random. There's order. A good farmer plows, but he also plants and he also waters. God is a good God, a good farmer, who, yes, sometimes there's the plowing, but he won't plow continually. We can trust him to water and to plant and to give every good gift, as James says. So think about this. What do we need to take with us today from this little-known passage in Isaiah 28? God is a master farmer. He knows exactly what he is doing in your life. Again, this big theme of Isaiah, we can trust him. We can trust him. And he only plows as long as is necessary. Never 1 second longer. Right, that's amazing, right? Never 1 second longer. Again, big theme. We can trust him. He plows with purpose. He's doing something good in us. He's making us more like the perfectly loving man, Jesus Christ. He's leading us to possess more of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. He is at work masterfully, taking us from dust to garden. Yes, as the soil and the seeds, we want to cry out, how long, O Lord? Please stop. Please, please, please stop the plowing. But he plows with great purpose. I think we were to think about every aspect of our lives under this. Everything. They're small things. That can seem petty, but they can be annoying and difficult to face. This week, I applied for the second time for an Indian visa because I'm going there in March. I go through the whole process. I mean, it's so annoying to apply for an Indian visa, and it's my fault, but my passport picture was a little blurry. And so I get a response through after spending hours and a little money, you don't get your visa. I was quite frustrated, right? Well, does that under the heading? It's kind of a small thing. Like, Jim's okay. He didn't get his Indian visa. He has to do it again next week, and hopefully he learned his lesson, has a clearer phone, whatever. But that's under this master farmer. That's a little thing. So we can think of all those little kind of annoying, difficult things that we face. That's not outside the master farmer's work in our lives. I mean, we can think of sleep. We can think of difficulties throughout the day. All of it, even the small things, God uses to take us from dust to garden. That's what he's doing. And even better news, the big things that we face. The extended sicknesses, the disease that comes when the cancer diagnosis comes, and divorce and infertility. Deep, painful things are not outside of this purpose of our God. And they don't go on 1 second longer than is necessary. He will not plow continually. So we might look at the other person and think, man, why can that couple have kids when we can't have kids? It's deeply painful. He does not plow continually. It does not go on 1 second longer than necessary. So it's important to say here, we must, as God's people, not say that, oh, yeah, everything's great. He's a master farmer. Plowing's great. Harrowing, when he's pulverizing my soil, that's not the point. There's the example of lament in Scripture. We can cry out, we should cry out, how long, O Lord, please stop plowing the ground, please. But as we do, as we lament, as we cry out, please stop, we do rest in him. We know he is the master farmer. We give it to him. Please stop, but Lord, work your purpose in me. Please take this away, but Lord, you're the master farmer. I'm not. Tim Keller says somewhere in one of his sermons, if we had all of the knowledge and the facts that he has, we would do the exact same things in our lives. He knows us completely. He loves us totally. We would do the exact same things. The exact same things if we had all of the knowledge and facts that he has. We don't minimize the deep pain of infertility. Why? But we would do the exact same thing if we had all the knowledge and the facts. God is working all things for his glory, but this is not separate from our good. All things work together for good for those who love God. These things work together. He plows with purpose. Think of the painful things in our lives, the difficult things, the annoying things, the things that in a second we'd get rid of. We look to our God. You are the master farmer. I trust in you. I love the way John Newton understood this work of God in our lives. In his amazing hymn, I asked the Lord that I might grow. So it's this picture of going from dust to garden, right, in our individual lives. So Newton, a former slave trader who deeply understood God's grace, says this in his hymn, I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. So God, please bless me. Please bless me spiritually. 'Twas God who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer, but it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favored hour at once he'd answer my request and by his love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. I hope God would just do an amazing work and change me, transform me. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. This isn't what I asked for, right? This is not what I asked for. Yea, more. With his own hand, he seemed intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my gourds, and laid me low. You don't want that, right? Blasted my gourd, you don't want that. God, can I grow spiritually? And then he does this. He's against me. He's plowing the ground. He's pulverizing the soil. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? And here's how God replied. 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answered prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy that thou mayst find thy all in me. And that's amazing. He plows with purpose. He's taking us somewhere. As his child, you can know that whatever's in your life, big, small, whatever, is a part of the master farmer's design to lead you to be this masterpiece, this beautiful garden. So that's first. Second, he threshes with precision. Look at verse 27. We'll read 27 and 28. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a stick and cumin with a rod. Does one crush grain for bread? No, he does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cartwheel over it with his horses, he does not crush it. So some of the same themes here, plowing and threshing, kind of similar. But I think we see a more specific preciseness to God's care. Each individual is cared for in specific ways. So this threshing is like beating, trampling a seed to get the husk or the worthless parts away, right? And then you have the fruit. But here, the master farmer knows how to treat each crop, right, in specific ways. You know, I don't quite know all that's going on here, but you treat dill different than cumin. That's the point. One, you might have your horse run over and then you get the fruit. One, you beat with a stick. That's the point. Each one is treated differently. The point is that God knows you perfectly, and he knows me perfectly. And he's doing things in my life to lead me here, and he's doing things in your life to lead you there. He's going to treat us as individuals. And part of maturing for us is seeing some of the ways that we need to grow and seeing how God might be working in us in different ways to produce the change, growth, and transformation that still needs to happen in our lives. We're not going to have all the answers. We don't know why he does what he does. But we know that the master farmer is, with us as individuals, taking us where we need to go. I think this is where maybe we struggle sometimes looking at other people's lives and saying, man, why do I have to face this and they don't, right? Why does that person find a spouse and I still can't and I want to be married? Or why does that couple seem to have a happy marriage and I'm married to this guy, right? I didn't mean that, but yes. Why does this person just breeze through school? Well, my major is consuming me. Why did this person go away to college and find all kinds of great friends and having the time of their life, and I go away to college and can't find anybody? Why can this couple have kids and we can't? Why do my adult children barely want to talk to me and have gone a very different way, and then this person's kids are all around them? Why, Lord? God is the master farmer. He knows each of us as individuals, and he knows what to do to lead us to fruitfulness. And I know many of us could testify by looking at each other's lives in this beautiful community where we've seen people taken through deep suffering that's hard for us to imagine. We think, man, God, don't do that for me. Don't do that in my life. But you see how God uses the suffering to make these people some of the most beautiful people you'll ever see. And it's because of the suffering. It's because of the plowing. It's because of the pulverizing of the soil that God has made this beautiful masterpiece. He threshes with precision. Now, sometimes we don't see why God does this, but I can look back even on my short ministry, a few decades, and I can look at some of the most difficult things I've faced in my job as pastor that in the moment I'd say, God, please take it away. Please stop plowing my ground. Please just have this person leave. No. Please stop this. But then even just a short time later, looking back, God, I see. Man, I had so many ways that I needed to change. God, I see that I was really bad at this, and through this experience, it's at least I have a long way to go, but God has changed me through it. We see God's good purposes, And even when we don't, we trust him as the master farmer. He is doing his good work. He threshes with precision in each of our lives. Lastly, he produces in abundance. He's doing this to lead us to this vibrancy, this flourishing life. This is his offer. Right? Jesus says in John 12, a very similar analogy. He gives the image of seed, a seed and dying. He says this, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. So it's a similar theme here. Through this process of dying, we find much fruit, but we see this through Jesus' words. If it doesn't die, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. If we die to ourselves, in a sense, if we die to trusting in ourselves and put our trust in Jesus, if we look away from ourselves and our platform, we look to Jesus, if it dies, it bears much fruit. And the difficulties and experiences of life that kind of further that dying process, Lord, I need you type of life, leads us to this place of weakness, leads to greater fruitfulness. So this whole paradigm, this whole illustration is only true because of what God has done. This is true of God's children, that we can say everything in our life, every plowing thing in our life, every threshing thing in our life, because of Jesus, because we put our trust in him, because the punishment for our sin and failure was placed upon Jesus, this is true. He plows with purpose in my life. He threshes with precision. None of this is punishment. It's only the loving work of God to lead me from dust to garden. It's true because of Jesus. And this is offered to every single one of us. If we put our trust in Jesus, we can be under this paradigm, in this paradigm, where everything, big and small, is a part of God as the master farmer's purpose in our lives. He produces in abundance. This is what he's doing in our lives. So what does this abundance look like? I've mentioned these things, but I think it's helpful, the word abundance. What does that mean? He's producing the fruit of love in our lives. The fruit of love. Less self-interest, more care for others. Difficulty, suffering, plowing, threshing, all often leads to the fruit of love or the fruit of joy, a deep happiness, a delight in the soul, the fruit of peace, contentment, and rest. Finding our life in him. We've been looking all over the place, sometimes through suffering. We see these things don't satisfy. Our all is in him. So it's the fruit of peace, of resting in Jesus. It's the fruit of patience. When we've been through difficulties, when we've faced the difficulty of maybe raising kids, it's not a waste that plowing, the threshing that happens and parenting can lead to greater patience, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of goodness, the fruit of gentleness. God uses these to produce this abundant crop in our lives. This is what God is doing. He produces in abundance. And look at verse 29 as Isaiah closes this passage. He says, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the hosts, the armies of angels, the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. And we can take that to our life as we go into this new week, this new month, as we're facing these difficulties. We know that he plows with purpose. Everything in my life, everything is a part of the master farmer's work. He threshes with precision. He knows me. He knows what I need. He's leading me through it. I don't want it sometimes. I can lament it, but he's doing it with purpose. He's doing it with precision, great care. So we can trust him. We can trust him. He's wonderful in counsel. He's excellent in wisdom. If I knew everything he knew, I would do the exact same thing in my life. We can trust him. Well, let me just say as we close, I want to make it abundantly clear that this is true, not just for suffering, but also even for our own sin. Because we can all think about certain things that we do that then, in a sense, bring the plowing. We do things and it brings the pain. right? I can get in a fight with my wife, and then that night it's painful because of that fight, and I did that. Well, does that mean that's not under this umbrella? Jim did it. It's his fault. Right? No, this is everything. God, the master farmer, even using temptation and sin for his good purposes of taking us from dust to garden. That's amazing. Doesn't mean we want the sin. It doesn't mean, well, yeah, now I can do anything. It doesn't mean that. But even that, he's using that to take us from dust to garden. It has been my privilege over the last year or so to step into counseling more. And one of the areas of focus of my counseling has been counseling specifically young men who struggle in certain ways with temptation. None of them would choose this temptation. None of them. This past week, I had the privilege of one that I've met with for a number of months, and he turned to me and he almost said, this has been a gift. This struggle that he would say, man, just give me freedom. This has been a gift because through this, I've seen my need for God, that my satisfaction is found in God, and now I want to, like 2 Corinthians 1, with the comfort and freedom that I've received, give this to others. God, the master farmer, has this 15-year-old kid exposed to things that he never should be exposed to. And for years, he's in battling this addiction. It is horrible. It is bad. It's plowing. It's threshing. But now looking back, you say, man, in some ways, I'm thankful for that. It was my sin. I shouldn't have done it. Thankful that I've experienced this freedom and comfort that now I want to give to others. That's amazing. We don't want that trash, right? We don't choose that. But even that is in the master farmer's hands to take us from dust to vibrant garden. That's amazing to me. Let me close with this, another hymn that is so fitting here. John Newton's good friend, William Cooper, says this, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he fashions up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds that you much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. This is our God, the master farmer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this amazing gift of this passage that points us to your precise care for each of us. In the midst of the pain, I do pray that you would help us to see your kindness. As we cry out and lament and we cry out for relief, help us also to hold on to trust that you look at us and want to take us to this place of vibrant life and that we will trust you in all things, the small things that come, the big things that come. We will trust you and know that you are doing your good work because of Jesus, because of the freedom found in him, the punishment placed upon him has led us to this place where just as a father you discipline and care for us. So as we go from this place, I pray that you would move each of us to a greater trust in you and a contentment with where you have us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.